remember doing those networking events in my 27 years in corporate boardrooms, and sometimes you'd be at this big network event and, you know, a lot of gray suits, a lot of gray, black, blue, dark blue suits, very kind of a conservative look, I guess. You know, you've seen them, you've been to them before. And then somebody walks in with like a bright colored outfit and right away gets attention, right? And typically, that would be what? Well, that would be a woman, typically, because a man doesn't normally come in with a bright red or bright orange or blue or some sort of a... So is that an advantage? Well, I mean, to the eye, it's an advantage because you can notice it. So what I'm wondering is an advantage women in the workplace? Is it an advantage or a disadvantage? I mean, when you bring it to that simple denominator of a networking event, and you think about it, I mean, a guy can't come in with a bright red suit. Well, he could, but he'd look like a clown, right? I mean, really, he'd look like a clown. I have some bright colored shirts and stuff, mm-hmm. and boy, they get attention, I gotta tell you. They look like they would be for one of those outdoor festive events down in Mexico, you know? When I wear those, they definitely get attention, I have to tell you. But they're not.
I can see you wearing those.
I bet you. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I mean, I think women have an advantage. I'm going to put that right out there. I don't think it's a disadvantage. I think it's an advantage, okay? Because that's, you know, as the work environment is sort of changing, I mean, more women today are in the work environment than ever before. But, you know, how many are really succeeding to the top? That glass ceiling is breaking, friends. It's breaking quickly, I got to tell you here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. Well, let me bring our co-host on the show here today. Shauna Peters joins us. She's an inner world explorer and guide, an intuitive natural health practitioner. She's out of Costa Rica. Missy Crutchfield is the co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. And Missy is out of the beautiful Tennessee area. That's a good time this time of year, actually, to be in. Susan Price. Susan is a patriot, Gold Star mother, investigative researcher, national voice, and an advocate for justice. And from Season 1, joining us is Ava Armstrong. Ava is an author who writes about the everyday men and women. These are law enforcement, military folks. 15 books out there and 3 more in development. And she's a patriot. She's also a political commentator, radio personality, and a producer right here at America Out Loud. And of course, everybody remembers Ava from Season 1. How could you not? We have a lot of the Season 1 stars joining us this week, right through to the finale, friends. A lot of them. Gail Murphy will be back, Sally Fernandez, Barbara McGee. You've been hearing a lot of the names from Season 1. Really great people. We're just so proud to have part of this phenomenal program that lifts spirits and does so much out there. We'll tell you more about the finale and what's going on a little bit later in the show. Let's get right to this conversation. I want to go right to this particular article I see here, which I find very, very fascinating. And it says here, should women use their sex appeal to get ahead at work? Right? Well, that's a question, isn't it? So it goes on to say that women comprise more than half of the workforce in a number of different fields, and yet an unfortunate reality that the business world can feel like a male-dominated space. Does it still feel that way today, though, I'm wondering? You know, or has that shift started and has it changed? I mean, that really is a good starting point. And then we'll talk about these very interesting comments on here from this Barbara Corcoran, which I find quite fascinating. Because Ava, I remember from season one where you were in really a lot of, well, some of the industries and businesses that were very male dominated, and you had to deal with some of these cats on a regular basis. But a lot has changed in the last, I'm going to say, 30, 40 years since, again, since I grew up. But I don't see it as male dominated anymore. Do you?
Well, I think women getting a formerly male job, I don't know how to describe this any better, but that's what happened to me. I was very young when it happened. I had interned at the corporation and I rose through the ranks. But when I was in with a group of men, and I had to be very, very conscious of how I not only how I dressed or how I managed myself. And I wanted to fit in. I wanted them to respect me. So sex appeal was really not part of my gig. Okay. I went into it eyes wide open. These guys all, I'll use the F word and bandied about, sports jargon and everything else. And I just sort of acclimated to it. I wasn't about to report people for, saying the F word to one another in the coffee room or something. And I just wasn't that kind of person.
But wouldn't
I
that be
just.
kind of considered today, like right now? I mean, in this Me Too environment right now, Ava, wouldn't that be sort of like
Oh, they'd
discrimination?
call it. Oh, yeah, they'd call it all kinds of things now. These guys would all be sued and they'd be out of a job. But no, I hardened myself, and I was already hardened before I ever got to that point. But I sort of toughened the exterior a little bit, and I didn't say the F word, but I went along with them and laughed at some of the jo actually some of the jokes were very funny. And, but I never tried to separate myself out as a female from them, although they were very aware that I was a female. But I didn't use the eye makeup and the hairdo and the perfume, none of
Right,
that.
right.
You just I just didn't feel like that was going to benefit me in any way. What I wanted more than anything else was their respect. And so if I think this is just my own personal guidepost that I used, if I wanted somebody to respect me, then I had to give them respect as well.
Yeah,
So
it works both
that was how
ways.
it worked. Yep.
Yeah, it definitely works both ways. I see a lot of different things that come to my mind there, Missy, Susan. Let's get into this conversation here. Missy, let's chime in here a little bit and talk about this a little more, because I see a few things that come to my mind as Ava says that. Because listen, I was in the advertising business. Now, I was equally men and women in that field, I believe, but I don't think women were disadvantaged ever in our field. I think they were advantaged. I mean, in my world, and I've said this before on this broadcast, I promoted more women in my day than I did men because they were more qualified for the job, Missy.
Right.
There are those who promote based on qualifications that somebody can really do this job really, really well. And then there's the point that, okay, some women who maybe, well, like Ava was just saying, maybe they do dress a little differently. Because she said something interesting, like she didn't want to really stand out or make notice.
Right.
So to me, that's could be a disadvantage because then you'd blend in. Whereas I think some women would not really follow that same script that Ava says. They would really stand out and use well, I mean, how do you say it, Missy? They would use their femaleness to get, I mean, because let's face it, if the CEO and the chairman and the top executives are men, I have to, and I'm not talking about sex here, Missy. I'm not talking about having sex on the
Right.
corporate boardroom. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're going to rub elbows with people, you want to sort of enjoy the people you're working with, correct?
Absolutely. And Ava's choice is her choices, isn't that beautiful that we have the opportunity to choose what we are comfortable with? You talked about the ceiling. It's gone, it's cracked, it's all that too. If it were cracked completely, Malcolm, I love you dearly, my brother, we wouldn't be having this show.
Let's
For
talk about that a little more, Missy. Because obviously, what comes to mind is what comes to mind probably for all of us. Obviously, the political world comes to mind very clearly. When you see that women are more than half the population and certainly half the workforce and what have you today, they certainly are not half of our representatives. They're not half of our political
Right.
sphere. And quite
Right.
frankly, they're not really doing, many people would say men are not doing a really good job out there. What do you say to that?
I agree with that. However,
Go
we can't
figure.
just blame, we can't, I love you, Malcolm. We can't just blame men. We've got to, we've
Oh,
got
come
to
on, Missy, why can't we?
For ourselves and say, you know what, I allowed this to happen, which is what's so exciting about this movement, all of the women's voices and the empowerment that's happening now. We're like, yeah, I'm going to claim my rightful place in humanity and in the workplace and all that goes with that. And because women bring forth a more compassion-centered, because we're wired, our DNA and all of that, for nurturing. So we are bringing forth a world that is inclusive and healing and looking at what we can do for Mother Earth as well as sisters and mothers and just all humanity. So I'm thrilled about that. I do want to say one more thing and then I'll throw it out to everybody. And that is that we always want to, society, media, and this show, you know, you open it up, say, oh, you know, you've heard it, I've heard it all my career, she got that job because of fill in the blank. We know what the rest is.
Well, there are those who cross the line, Missy. There are those who...
Absolutely. Let me just throw this out there, though, because I think one person, and this is going to blow you away, Malcolm, handled this so beautifully, and I actually just adore her, and that is Melania Trump. And when they were engaged and media are all coming at her, you're just with him because of his money, aren't you? If he didn't have all this money, would you be? And she said, look, if I weren't so beautiful, would he be interested in me? And I and just killed that, nipped it.
That's a great line. That's a great line. I love that. You're so right, Missy. You're Thank you for being honest with that. You're so right.
Yeah.
That's a great line that kind of stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, what if she was an ugly bitch? Trump wouldn't be with her, right?
Right.
I mean, come on. Right or wrong, ladies? Come on. Right?
Probably true, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that sounds shallow, but I'm talking beauty on the inside and the out, ladies. I'm talking all of it, the whole package, the heart, the soul, the whole bit. And it doesn't
hurt. You know what's really interesting? I'm going to interrupt you here. Using your sex appeal to advance your career, okay?
Yeah.
Now, we're assuming that's a woman.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, why should we just assume that women would do that?
Thank you.
Wow. I hadn't thought of that, Ava Armstrong. You would have to put that in there, wouldn't you? I'm trying to think of the men in my life who would do that now. Do you think I would do that, Ava?
No, but I have seen some men. I have seen some men that would do that. Yes,
yeah.
I have.
Well, especially when the world is changing so much, right? Like, you know, there's all many different types of relationships. It's not like the 1950s where it's just men and women getting together, you know.
And there are a lot
of dynamics now that are very different.
Because I hear this talking point all the time about this glass ceiling and what have you. And she puts out there, well, listen, don't, you know, like, okay, it's not broken. I mean, we may, I think what you're saying, Missy, is we sort of maybe possibly.
We got a lot of practice. We need to get a sledgehammer.
Cracks. That's what I'm asking you, Missy. So you're saying we sort of have slightly cracked it a bit, right? Correct? Yeah.
We've cracked it a lot. We've done a lot.
Oh, good. A lot.
A long way to go.
Well, we haven't broken it down. It's not in shambled pieces yet, right? It's not in pieces yet. So you want to bust that thing in pieces, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You always want to support women. What is it with you, Missy Crutchfield? You are definitely a woman's woman.
I am. My handle is Sisters Speak Out. I see women and mothers and the potential of sisterhood and global change, because we will include our brothers, because we work from compassion, and we will remember that we cannot exchange one tyrant for another, because we've all experienced that and seen that, and that's the problem with the world. So we're going to come up with an inclusive world and lead together.
So Susan, you hear Missy talk about the glass ceiling, and she talks about the fact, okay, we haven't shattered the ceiling yet, but it's in pieces kind of thing. We've got it a little bit cracked here and there and the other, but you know, of course, there's a lot of industries, there's a lot of political sphere we're talking about, and really looking back over the last 40-50 years, what's your honest opinion about this quasi glass ceiling? Where are we at, Susan, in all of it?
Well, we've made a lot of progress as women in the workplace, but I think that with being a woman and also what's coming now, we're in a different phase of with progress and technology. It's going to be interesting, because I don't think we really can predict what's going to happen. I'll just say that women will prove themselves. I think there's going to be a lot of stay-at-home jobs, and I don't think that it's going to be what we're used to seeing, let's say, the last 20, 30 years, actually, in the job market. Everything's being redefined because of technology.
You think more women are going to end up staying back at home now rather than in the actual work environment, Susan?
I do.
Really?
Well, they'll be working. Yeah, they'll be working at home or, you know, in like segregated areas outside the home, and maybe traveling a lot as well. But because of technology, technology is what's really forcing us to change.
Very, very
true.
And we're going to see
true.
A lot of that. We're going to see so much of that. That's the cusp. This is the wave we're riding right now. And
so it's not
just
women,
and
it's all people. It's all everybody.
Exactly. It's all mm-hmm. people. But, you know, women are, we're curious, you know, we love to travel. We love to mix it up. And then we like our private time too, but, it's going to be an interesting time for everybody to watch and see, because we're now battling these robots and artificial intelligence. And that's what's on the cusp here. So.
Yeah, more than people realize, actually, what's going to happen with the AI world, as I report on this all the time.
Can I tell you, there is absolutely no sex appeal for a robot. Okay.
No.
Yeah, this may become a totally different conversation. You know, we're talking about men and women and sort of like the frictions that happen, but it may totally change as, you know, robotic technology advances, that it may totally shift this entire conversation between men and women in the workplace.
Exactly.
Yeah, the boss,
and they're
the
pushing
boss,
it too.
The boss
corporate,
might be a robot.
The corporate club.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's, you know, and that's where the fight is. That's where a lot of us that are like real morally ethical, we don't want that. We look at that like the mark of the beast, because they want to microchip everything, you know, and they want to incorporate the two together. So I don't know. It's really going to be interesting. That was a good question too, Malcolm. I didn't know how to answer it exactly, because I see this is a very prominent wave, and these corporations, and I've already written an article on this. These people, these military industrial complex and corporations, are pushing this for 2019 and 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah,
it's
your
right
answer,
there with these sex bots.
Your answer was very interesting as well, Susan. I didn't expect it. Very, very mm-hmm. interesting. That curve that I hadn't really thought about, and real full disclosure here, hadn't really considered that this next change is coming. I mean, I certainly have considered the AI world. I mean, I get that part of the equation. We've talked about that. We've covered that. I'm fascinated with that, really and truly.
Yeah.
But what I didn't consider is that your essence and your feeling that more women may very well be back to it, the cycle may reverse itself, I think, is what you're saying, that they may end up working from home because of the technology benefits, I think, is what it is, huh?
Exactly.
Well, you know, there's something
interesting
about that. Let me say this. I want everybody to think about this. There's something interesting about what you say, because let me put this out there now before we pause here a moment, and it's this. If you consider the world space right now, the world environment, you consider the violence in schools, you consider that putting your children in school, more people, we've talked about this, Ava, before, more people are probably going to end up homeschooling the kids, especially with the violence in schools. And we'll be talking about this a little bit later. We have another show tomorrow about this, with school violence and school shootings and that sort of thing on Life Liberty. But the point is that, you know, all of this factors in raising your kids, the safety of the family. I mean, you can't throw the family away. You've got to keep the, I mean, regardless of whose role it is and what's happening, it's got to be a priority. The kids have got to be a priority. The family life is, or we have nothing left. I mean, there's nothing left if we don't take care of that. And so maybe what you put out there is interesting for people to think about in this next world order, with everything coming down. Now think about this, people. You got this shift going on right now. You got the AI world coming on here on the fringes. We're on the very, very fringes of this AI business over here, okay? You got this movement of what's happened in the workforce over the last 40, 50 years, big changes have happened from when my mom was here, when we grew up, to today. And now you've got this, Susan puts out there, well, there's a shift possibly where women could end up, many of them, back working from home. Technology plays a part of that. People are able to do their thing. People want it all. In fact, the most attractive, successful women, quite frankly, can juggle it all. They can do it all. They can do the family. They can do the kids. They can make big money, successful career. They have sex appeal. Oh, my golly. Sign me up for one of them people, will you? I'll take it. I'll be back in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So listen, I'm excited now, people. I'm in the market now for that perfect woman who can do it all, man. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Let's put that out there, man. Let's get
she can bring home the bacon and
oh,
fry it
in a pan. Let me give you an email address. You can send your resume. No. I'm just kidding here. Oh boy. All right, listen, I want to ask you all something here. This is very interesting. Shauna, we were talking earlier about this very unique story in this one resource we had, Should Women Use Their Sex Appeal to Get Ahead at Work? This was written by Catherine Lindsay, and it's very interesting. If you're familiar, folks, with Shark Tank, the ABC program, Shark Tank, you know, Barbara Corcoran, as you probably may know or may not, I don't know, she's a real estate they call her a real estate guru and an investor. And I know the name. I don't know a lot about her specifically, but I know she's very good. She says she came out back just really not too long ago. I mean, we're talking about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and said that she got people talking when she said that she would yank up her skirt to get noticed in the business world. Wow. She said she would yank up her skirt. I mean, that's some pretty strong words there, ladies. I mean, and she goes on to say, now this is, and this was a tweet that she put out. This was her. This was a tweet, which, by the way, I love this, which she deleted. But again, right. in the technology world, it never goes away. You put it out there. We got it. We got you. I mean, and then she goes on to say, I find running a hashtag business in a man's world to be a huge advantage. Now, I agree with her what she says there. I wear bright colors, yank up my skirt, and get attention. And later, she defended some of this on Access Hollywood. Now, I'm not sure she was saying here. Let's go around on this comment, because this is really very juicy, Shauna. I don't think she's saying that she was screwing everything that moves. That's not what I get from this Barbara Corcoran. Although maybe she was. I don't think so. I think she's saying, when she says, yank up my skirt, that's the essence of what we're talking about today. I think what she's saying, Shauna, is, yeah, man, you know it. I use my femaleness, bright colors, my charm, and my beautiful legs, and I let them have it. What do you say?
You got it blunted,
yeah.
Right?
Barbara Corcoran. What I always say, ladies.
Yeah, she's a beautiful woman. And it seems that she, just in the private sphere of life, from what I get from watching her, would really enjoy looking her best and taking care of herself. It's not just in business. That's part of who she is. Some people enjoy that more than others. And so I think, you know, bring yourself to the workplace. It seems like that's what she's doing, and she's also finding that an advantage. And yeah, like I think we've commented on this before, people who are attractive and good looking and people who take care of themselves do get noticed more. That's in any sphere of life.
Right.
And, you know, why not use that in business? I think there's probably a line that people have to find for themselves between putting themselves out in that way and then where it sort of becomes sort of a soul eating, this is not really working for who I am on the personal level. But yeah, I always enjoy her. She's an interesting woman,
really?
Inside and out from
cool.
what I see whenever I watch her.
Wow, that's awesome. So you don't think it was she was speaking literally then? This was just a figurative statement, right? This I yank up my skirt or something, right? I mean, you don't take it seriously, Shauna.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she likes to dress very attractively. Like maybe instead of just being above her knee, it was mid thigh. So you know,
but you don't think she was doing it to have sex with everybody in that environment? I'm asking you.
It's not the feel I get from her from watching on her on Shark Tank, but I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
You don't know what happens behind closed doors. It doesn't seem to me from this article.
Okay.
But she seems to enjoy what she's doing and hold her center of self. She seems to really own that about
herself.
Let
me put this out there to everybody right now. And anybody answer me back. Does anybody think Barbara Corcoran put that out there because basically she wanted to get laid?
No.
Okay. All right. Cool. I had to ask it. All right.
She's so smart. I don't think she needs to. I mean, she's obviously an incredible businesswoman.
So then she's perfect for the story. Then she did what we're talking about here, lady. She used her essence, her skills.
Yeah.
Who said a minute ago? Somebody said, if you have it, flaunt it, put it out there, use it.
I said that, right.
Yeah. All right. So what about that?
She's using her, you know, what God gave her. If you're attractive, I mean, the reason that the show is called On Sex Appeal, because when you talk about, you know, should women use their sex appeal or should your sex appeal be used immediately? Most people are going to think, oh, they're talking about women. If you had a show that was about the same, you know, you want to talk similar things, but you said, you know, should an attractive person play up their attractiveness or play it down? Then you're like,
Hello.
Well, maybe they would be talking about men too.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm saying hello. That's an obvious thing, right? I didn't lose you. I'm just saying hello.
I have a comment. I have a comment about Barbara. Barbara Corcoran on Shark Tank is awesome, okay? This is the thing about her using her skirt or whatever you want to call it, her sex appeal. It may work on the men in the room. But then when your women comrades or coworkers see you doing that, that will create a whole different dynamic. I just wanted to throw that out there.
It can. I agree with that. I've worked in several different careers and from government and I do home rehabilitation as well. And I'm in a guy's career and I know, you know, but when I worked in government, I had a lot of women on my staff. I wanted to make sure that when I hired, I gave everybody the fairest chance. And I loved it when I found, you know, the right person. And more often than not, it turned out to be a woman. And I would have people tell me that, you know, what you've done for women in the city and women in careers. And I'm somewhat attractive and that was, I always, you know.
Oh, Missy, get out of here. Just say the truth. Say, I am freaking beautiful. What do you mean somewhat attractive? Yeah. What does that mean?
And I, well, you know.
Does that like
I
mean you're half
really,
a dog and half not a dog? What does that mean? You're beautiful.
She's a 10. She's a 10.
But I would dress in an attractive manner. I, you know, my legs are a decent attribute I have. And so, you know, my skirts aren't going to be always to the floor. But I felt like it was always tasteful. It would, you know, the colors might be bright and you know fun, and men will wear bright ties, and because most men are in suits, when a man wears a pink tie or a bright tie, boy does it get attention. So you know,
yeah.
Women, we like to wear clothes, we like to dress to get attention. If you want to get it, if you're going to present, you want to wear something that's going to get attention but still speak to being professional. So when you cross those lines and you become where you look kind of I think in one of the articles, slutty, or you look like you're trying to get, then that's not cool. And then, but you always have to, and particularly with women, you have to make sure that it is in solidarity, that in my workplace, I would always you know, it wasn't flipping my skirt around when I went in and shaking my, you know, you're always respecting women and building them up and they respect you back. And so when I would go and present, let's say to council, the women on the team would be, you know, go get them. And I'd wear the nice suit and really dress up and I'd have makeup on. Absolutely. And they'd say, you know, we are with you. And they would be so proud of me. So it's not, the problem comes is when it's like me against you. It's like women, you know, stabbing each other in the back, which we've been notorious for, like the dog eat dog and the men, everybody climbing to the, you know, so this, the power in the sisterhood right now is that we're beginning to stick together, the solidarity of we're better together. We lift each other up and we all lift.
The, you know, there's not just the outfit that people are experiencing when they experience you. They experience your energy. They experience everything, your intention through your energy. Yeah. And that is what makes the difference. So you can't make a rule like this skirt is inappropriate. Right. This skirt is appropriate because there's that other factor that can't be controlled by a piece of clothing. Right. And it's something that has to come into this whole conversation, even like what comments are acceptable. Yeah. You know, men make comments on women's beauty. Sometimes I don't appreciate them. I can feel the energy behind them. Sometimes I do enjoy being admired. There's a different energy that comes behind it. And I think, you know, we've been trying to like make rules in this whole like Me Too conversation, like what's appropriate, what's not. And it's not that simple. There's the intention and the energy behind it. And we have to pay attention to what we're putting out.
That's right. Excellent. Thank you, Shauna.
You bring up an excellent
I've always heard it to be women dress for women and undress for men. Not just in the physical sense, but you know, spiritual, emotional, you know.
Spiritual? What are you talking spiritual, honey? That sounds a little chaotic and XXX for spiritual. But I like it. I like the theory.
Emotionally,
mentally. Shauna puts out a good point there, too, about this whole paradigm with men and women. We are in a politically correct environment. I was going to say politically corrupt environment. We're in that too, ladies, as well. Politically corrupt and politically correct. We're in both at the same time. Imagine that. But this PC environment.
In cleanup mode.
Yeah, cleanup mode on aisle 7, 10, 15, 20, and 32. But, you know, this PC environment we're in, you do have to be careful. As Shauna was just saying, sometimes she doesn't want to hear somebody. That's a real problem. See, I never had that happen in my world where, you know, and I had amazing women all around me in the corporate environment. And I never had that problem because they knew who I was and they knew that there was no sexism there. Probably was the reason, I'm guessing. I don't really know, but I'm guessing that never came up. But I can see today that's a big problem. You almost can't compliment a woman today without, because you could be clearly be considered, just sexual discrimination. In some cases, even straight out sexual assault. That's a big problem out there, Ava. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And in a way, it's kind of sad that men and women can't kind of joust back and forth. I know when I was in corporate and I worked with a whole bunch of guys, part of my day was just jousting with them back and forth. And I have a really thick skin. I'm very, very tough. Maybe it was because of the way I was raised. I'm not sure. My father at the dinner table jousted with me, and we argued back and forth about politics or anything that was going on. And my two brothers would physically, you know, wrestle with me and throw me about. And, you know, and I hung out with their brothers and with their friends, I should say. And I became very, I don't know, very immersed in the male world and accepting of the male world because they're very different than we are. But yet I had girlfriends and I hung out with girlfriends and, you know, I did all the fun things with them, but there is really a very different dichotomy between men and women. And I enjoy the male sphere very, very much. And with that comes some of that behavior that is much different.
Where they cross the line, in other words. And then
they love to cross the line. Sure. They love it. You do it, Malcolm. You do it on the show.
Don't
sometimes.
Tell everybody now what happens, Ava.
I love it. To me that's jousting and you're back and forth and I can do you one better and you know, all of that kind of thing. I enjoy that and I'm just not easily offended, okay? So that's just me.
No, you're well balanced, in fact, with that. But yeah. I could see you at the dinner table with your siblings and stuff, giving them a hard time. Missy, I want to ask you something that I started to ask you earlier before I was rudely interrupted. And no, I'm kidding. But let me ask you this here. So I get a feeling that, so if you were hiring for your Global Center for Peace and you had two qualified candidates there, one was a really cool woman who was attractive and had it all down, and she was just good, really, really good, and equally so. And then the other person was a guy. Let's say it was me, Missy. Maybe it was me, and I looked really good, and I was ready. I had all the ammunition. I could do the job as well. Who do you hire?
The one with the best energy.
Yeah, you're fibbing. You're so lying to me.
You'd probably get the job, Malcolm, because your energy's
oh,
awesome.
Oh, there you go. Now she kissed. All right, girl. That's what I wanted to know. I always said, would Missy Crutchfield hire me? You would,
yeah.
Would you? All right. Why are men threatened by successful women? Susan, answer that first, Susan. Let's go around the table here. Susan, just let's all put a big statement out there about why are men threatened by successful women? Susan?
Well, I my personal opinion from what I've experienced in my life, they want to be the Mac Daddy. They want to bring the bacon home. They want to be paid more. To them, it's an ego thing. The men that practice this is what I've noticed.
Just, ego thing. Got it. No, it's a point you make there. They want to bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan. They want to eat the bacon.
What's their worth? Yeah, they equate it with their worth.
Ego.
Like they're worth more because they've made more. But not all men are like that. There are very supportive men. But from what I've seen, you know, in the past.
All right, that's interesting. That's thank you for putting that. This. You're saying it. Ego. Not, okay, let's go right around. I want to go around the table. Missy, what's your answer to that, please?
Well, I think that they are, I'm going to go ahead and intentionally say victims of the messages of media and society that only the man and what that man might look like is the best choice, is the smartest, is the best suited for success. And that's just the way it is. And that anybody else that might get the job got it because of, I don't know, affirmative action or, you know, fill in the blanks, that kind of thing, because that's the story. That's been the narrative for so many, decades. So that's the other thing that has to be shattered. And that's part of that ceiling thing. We're shattering. And it's not just women. It's for diversity, and including aging in the workplace too, because I think, you know, more and more, especially with the millennials entering the workplace, and the value of the wisdom that comes from the elders and the experienced who are, you know, 50 plus is not being as valued. And I think that's dangerous.
Okay. Shauna, what's your answer? Why are men threatened by successful women?
Well, I think, you know, as we're shifting, this requires women to become more conscious, to grow in their consciousness, to expand, to really challenge the paradigms of the past, and to be with a woman who has really walked on that journey. As a man, you're going to have to step up for that journey too. And that's uncomfortable. You know, you're going to have to look at some things that your father didn't look at, your grandfather didn't look at. You're going to have to step it up. And instead of just being a person who accomplishes and that's what makes you valuable, you're going to have to look at the inside. And that's too challenging for some people, I think, or they think it's too challenging for some men. But it just requires more of you to be with a woman who's really standing in her own power, who's really, you know, becoming conscious and intentional and aware.
I like these answers a lot. This is good stuff. Ava, what's your answer to that? Why are men threatened by successful women?
Well, all I can speak to is my own experience. My husband met me in a gym, and he said when he watched me from across the gym while I was exercising, he said, "I was very nervous to approach you. You look like you wanted to kill somebody." and I kind of do have that game face, I guess you call it. You know, when I'm not, you know, conversing with somebody or whatever, I probably do look like, well, I wanted to kill somebody. But it took him 8 months to actually crack the shell here. So, I think that's what it is. I think powerful women exude something very powerful. And I think men are kind of perplexed by that. And they're almost a little bit afraid of it, but yet it's interesting. So,
and so men are, they're what? They don't know how to handle that?
Well, I think that, well, men are terribly afraid of being turned down. You have to understand that. Of course, you know that, Malcolm, right? So, you know, it hurts. It hurts to be shot down. So I think that, you know, he took his time and he did the right thing, obviously. But
wow.
He took his time and he was very much a gentleman. And he, you know what he did? He made me laugh. And he found out what made me laugh. And
Isn't
he took
that
his time.
Cool?
Took yeah. his time to it's get
fantastic.
To know me. Yeah,
smart man.
Yeah,
that is smart.
And I,
yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, just like Ava's story, I think for the men who are willing to step into it, the rewards are incredible. You know, we've talked a lot on this show about keeping a long-term relationship alive and how do we do that. I think that's one of the things, you know, as women grow in their power and confidence as they get older, mm-hmm. and a man who can appreciate that, that's one of the factors that just keeps a relationship like alive and happening.
Yeah, wow. These are great answers. I like what we just talked about because, I mean, I got a lot out of it myself. But, well, somebody said early, Missy, you said it. You're using all your attributes. I mean, shouldn't we all be doing that as people, men? And shouldn't men be using their sex appeal to sell?
Yes.
Right?
I mean, yes, step it up. Step it up, guys.
Right, step it up.
If you're attractive, then present your best, put your best face and your best energy and your best self forward.
Yeah, no matter what you look like, do that.
Yes.
You know, that's what people want to see, that you care for yourself and that you enjoy yourself. I think that's attractive, no matter whether you meet the standard of quote unquote what is sexually appealing in our culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, confidence. Let's use your word.
Yeah,
confidence. Way to say it.
Sexy.
Well, you know, confidence is sexy. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence is, let me put that down here. Confidence is sexy, says Missy. Very good. No, it's very true. Confidence is sexy in many, many ways. And you know, and I'm going to say this, ladies. Confidence is sexy both in the boardroom and the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that stuff?
Yeah,
definitely.
Mm-hmm. You can do your imagination right there, people, right? You know where the show just went, right in the toilet. Like, you need it with one line, dive right into the toilet. Just like an Olympic dive, ladies.
Brown. It always goes from the boardroom to the bedroom.
Well, that's it.
I feel like this conversation has taken this twist a number of times.
Well, that's kind of... Well, yeah, it does. But, I mean, you're talking about the gender thing. It definitely comes up, Shauna. I mean, we are made a little differently, love, you know. Well, you know, Ava said something interesting a moment ago about, you know, that making people laugh. We all like that. That's a great secret, in fact, for probably finding, like, the perfect person in your life. If you can make somebody laugh, that's really cool. I mean, making somebody laugh. But even more than that, you know, there's this confidence factor that comes with all of that. That's very, very unique. Well, listen, let me just take a moment here and tell folks right now. Again, you're listening on this episode of Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Shauna Peters, Missy Crutchfield, Susan Price, Ava Armstrong. Now, listen, friends, as you know, this show has been absolutely incredible. The women from season one and season two, these are all powerhouses, really successful, unique personalities, people that are from all different walks of life. But that was the whole essence of this show, is to bring these various dimensions in and to be able to talk about really about anything. And I think you'll find most all the women on this show are pretty well willing to talk about just about anything. And you'll see that as we move into this next week of programming, just absolutely amazing. You'll find it all on America Out Loud Talk Radio, 5 o'clock and 11 is the encore. Now, all these shows go to podcast, and I want to ask you right now to go to Apple or Google Play and give us a review and rate the show and tell folks how it is, and that always helps. We don't get a chance to say that much, but we appreciate your support and pushing it out there. But also, the podcast is alive and well. The beautiful thing about podcast is the shows live on forever, and you just love. That's why podcasts are so successful today, is because the body of work stays there. And you can really, I mean, how cool is that, people? So it doesn't just go away. It stays there for infinity. So people can listen back to this conversation 5 years from now and hear what we were talking about and probably try to figure out if any of it came true or not as we predict some of the future stuff. Anyways, season finale is coming up here Tuesday, May 29th. and Wednesday, May 30th. It's a part one and part two. And it's very, very interesting why women should rule the world. And, of course, I will be far outnumbered on these programs, I assure you. And I'm sure I'll get lots of advice, as you will as well, as why women should rule the world. But that is our finale, our two-part finale, all different personalities on both of those shows. You should be really, really excited. We invite you in for that and to push this out and tell folks about it. It's really, really cool stuff. Other than that, we're having a good time here. And again, as we continue to do this journey here, thanks for being part of this conversation. And we're going to pause. We'll be back in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. The 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. All right, we're back. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. We're on the march, friends, to our finale and having some great conversations. Got some really good topics coming up over this next week, so be tuned into that. Shauna Peters is here, Missy Crutchfield, Susan Price, Ava Armstrong from Season 1 is here, and we appreciate everybody's their vibe. Well, as you said earlier, ladies, energy is so, energy is sexy, ladies. Energy, to me, energy is sexy. Now, yeah. I asked you all before the break, I said, can men use their sex appeal, and should men use their sex appeal to further themselves in whatever way that can be? Let's talk about that a moment. Susan, I want to ask you that question because you usually are the most, Susan, you're the most proper. You're like an English lady for tea, you know, one afternoon. Susan Price, you know, she's proper.
You don't know me.
You come across that way, love. Yeah, she's the type that's got the glasses on and the hair in the bun and then watch out when 5 o'clock
comes.
No, she's
a wild woman.
Baby, woo, there it is.
Well, you know, I know how to unleash myself in the right audience.
The right audience.
Yeah. Okay. But and you know, and I used to market for doctors and attorneys and attend all the chamber functions, and I was in that world at one time.
It's a hell of a thing to say. To market. What does that mean? Just shy of going to bed with them? What does that mean when you say I used to market for
no
them?
Way. Yeah, I'm very old-fashioned.
I mean, that's
that
subliminal,
way.
Though. But I used to market for them. Wink, wink. Okay, I got it.
I was out there and I was representing the businesses and whatnot. And you always had to look your best. But it was nice when you ran across gentlemen that were men that were gentlemen that knew how to act like gentlemen. And they were sexy. I mean, what the heck?
What does a gentleman act like, Susan, in that environment, sweetheart? I want to ask you, love. What does a gentleman act like?
I don't know. There's a certain energy that you can say, just a very appealing. It's not what they say, it's what they don't say. You know,
it's what they don't say.
Energy that goes with and what they, how they just act.
It's not what they say,
presence.
But what they don't
in
say.
Presence.
Very interesting. Right. So in other words, if they say they want to, you know, then they're probably better off. It's like, okay.
No.
I could see you in a corporate meeting, Susan. Now describe this for me if this is possible here. You're sitting there in the corporate meeting. You have like power lipstick on. You've got some bright lipstick on. You've got a business suit on, a women's business suit. You've got sort of a, kind of a pad and pen deal or a tablet or something, and you're ready to do business and you're kind of no nonsense and you sit down. Now, am I anywhere on that or am I way off?
No, you're totally way off base.
Really?
You know what? I don't wear a lot of lipstick, and when I do, it's subtle because I have a big personality, and I'm a strong personality too. But I will wear a really, like an electric blue shirt and, you know, something,
cool.
a nice pretty scarf. But then I know how to get it done.
Know how to get it done.
Subtle, but it's
Susan, yeah. I got to tell you something. I would love to be at a cocktail party or networking event or something with you, and I'd love to see you with two or three drinks. I bet you it's I bet you it's a whole different Susan Price at that point, I'm guessing. Missy, what do you think of that? I bet you it's a whole different Susan.
You're saying that, Malcolm. Well, you're thinking that because I'm a Gold Star mother. So you're looking at me as the bereaved mother, and that's probably what's feeding your subconscious.
Not so much. It's your demeanor. It's your demeanor. You're very specific. You're very precise. You're very correct. You're always looking for the right moment, the right word, the right something. You're not intrusive.
Not always.
Okay. All right.
But well, there's another side to me.
All right. Well, obviously, I have this all pegged wrong, so I've screwed that up entirely. So, Missy, I'm not going to try to do it.
He knows nothing about women. He knows nothing.
Not a damn thing, obviously. And I'm not going to do a psychological profile on you, Missy Crutchfield. So talk to me, girl. Talk to me.
I just wanted to tell Susan, you can always hear the smile in your voice. It's so beautiful.
Ah, thank you. That's so nice of you.
Yeah, you can leave me out of this one, Malcolm, sure.
Well, no. What do you mean leave you out of this? What the hell's that mean? I don't understand. You taking a pass? I never knew you to do that, young lady. I've never known you to back down off anything.
Oh, I'm not backing down. But I just, you know, when I see or say somebody's sexy, it's not going to be in the workplace unless you're talking about somebody sexy that was outside of their workplace. But really, you know, if I'm... you know, like with your friends, but you know, I really focused on the conversation around, you know, that was attractive or they were attractive, because when you go and you invoke the word sexy, then, you know, the next thing, like you always do, Malcolm, is you go to sex. Wow, wonder what he's or she's or, you know, whatever. So attractive is not necessarily sexy, although, you know, many people go for attractive, and it's different. Attractive is the way you speak, the way you present yourself. It's, you know, with or without makeup, with or without short or long or whatever hair. It's just what works for your look and your presentation. And that's attractive. And people want to have attractive people in their workplace, working for them. They bring positive energy. They bring smiles. They bring, you know, yes into the workplace and networking and collaborations and all of those wonderful things that a business wants. And that's attractive.
They're bringing themselves, expression of themselves, instead of just playing sort of a role or, you know, wearing sort of a mask. That's what's really attractive.
Yes.
So what do you think?
But if somebody comes in,
how much time do you have?
Oh, that's what that is.
This could be a whole different show, really.
I love where it's going. We just need to go overtime now and really get the show moving here. So Susan says, how much time you got?
We could do a Margarita Monday and see how that goes.
Or a Tequila Tuesday, huh? Or a Wine Wednesday.
Right.
But can we all agree that I think smart women definitely use, well, their energy for sure, and their sex appeal, their attractiveness, sex appeal, all of that, that they use that in the best way they can to get the job or whatever it is. Does anybody disagree with that? Everybody agree with that?
I think if you're really good looking, you need to play it down a little bit.
Really?
Right.
I'm not bragging here, but I did not want to call attention to myself in that manner. My attention was to be brought to my brain power, okay? And my energy, like you said. I have a very positive vibe I can bring out there. And I also have a negative one I can throw at you, too. But I wanted to make sure that my intellect was what was being interviewed or looked at. And not so much my lipstick or my legs or what I was wearing. So I was very careful to be, you know, a little brown bird in a whole, you know, flock of, you know, that would blend in. Okay.
And that's what I was speaking about on the interview. I think once people know you and trust you and you have built a body of work, a reputation of positive, good things, then you can dress it up a little or flash it out a little. But coming in the interview, the last thing you want to do is just flash in there and woo-woo, here I, you know, you want to, you want to play yourself, be authentic, be attractive, but also fit in. Don't be threatening. They don't know you yet.
Exactly.
And Ava, you say something that really surprised me. So if you're attractive, you're saying you're really, really attractive, you need to play that down, you're saying.
I think it's very wise to. Wow. Yes, I do.
Everybody agree with that?
I think just like playing it up sometimes, right? You have to know when to use all the skills that you have, you know. It's just be smart, pay attention.
Yes.
Use what's going to work for you to advance in the business world.
I mean, as people, we are all attracted, I think I can say, to people who get it. When somebody comes in the room, male or female, and they get it, they got it. Well, let me say this, ladies. There's what we call the it factor. It, yeah. And well, everything we're describing here, whatever word we're using, sex appeal, personality, attractiveness, energy, all of these nuances that we're speaking about, to me, all of that relates to the it factor, okay? And I've done enough interviews in my world to know that when people came in and they had the it factor, they had the more than, you know what was the sexiest part of any of this? Was the confidence, I have to tell you right now. Truly and honestly, it was the confidence. That was the sexiest part of hiring anybody. You know that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I've done a lot of interviews in my life. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed all kinds of people on all sides of the aisle. And confidence was the most attractive part of all of this. Somebody that came in who was confident, who could do it, do the job, and make it happen, and take control of it. Oh, man, that was like the most beautiful thing ever, ladies, you know? I mean, that's it. So to me, as the CEO and what I did, although it was really about confidence. And so I hired over the years based on the people that exuded that confidence, people who had that it factor. I call the it factor. And I have to tell you right now, ladies, most of the people who had that, they had sex appeal because they just knew how to, like you all said earlier, you hit it right on. They knew how to be attractive. They knew how to put their sex appeal out there. And I think we can say that without meaning sex, but, you know, their attractiveness, their sex appeal. Yeah. I think they knew they had it. They had the it factor. Yes. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Right?
Yeah. I think people with that just own themselves, that stand in their confidence, it's not about looking like it is in a magazine. Right. And those people are still extremely attractive, you know, like just standing in who you are and bringing that wherever you go is
beautiful.
Yeah,
I think it becomes your brand. And there's another thing I'll leave all of you with a thought. There's something called your personal brand. Everybody's got a brand. You create this brand over the years. It's within your scope and your influence and your sphere of influence. It's the brand of who you are. It's the energy you put out. It's what people really think of you, who you are, what you are. It's the ambiance you've created around yourself. That is that aura that people say, wow, that's really somebody. Again, I think it's the it factor, people. And you have a personal brand. Remember that. And that personal brand you put out there, male or female, it works in both ways, is very attractive. I was always at a lot of events where they always wore ties. I was never I never liked the banker, the attorney. A lot of them were friends, but I didn't want to be one of them. You know, I stood out. So I wore great suits, but it was always, I never wore ties. When women burnt their bras back then, I burnt my ties. You see, yeah. Women burnt their bras, I burnt my ties, you see. And I threw my socks away as well. So I don't wear any socks. I haven't worn them in decades. Don't own a pair. And I don't wear ties anymore. I gave all of them up. You understand? So no ties, no suits, tea back underwear, and you'll pick up a lot of dates, friends. Anyways. Well, that's it. That's why we call it life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. Because, friends, that's what we're doing in this life. We want liberty, and we want to have a good time while we have the ride all the way forward here. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, so using your sex appeal to advance your career. Hell yes, use your sex appeal to advance your career. I agree with Barbara Corcoran. Use every skill you can, people, and advance it. You bet your bottom sweet little toes. Do everything you can to advance. And if they don't like it, too bad. Then they're not worth your time. There you go. There's the answer here. Wow. Well, stay with us. Stay with us in the finale. Tell your friends about this crazy conversation going on here. And thank you, friends, for being part of this conversation here today, Shauna Peters, Missy Crutchfield, Susan Price, Ava Armstrong. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.